Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome our audience today to Missing Pages of History. We have a very informative subject tonight, which we believe will enhance everyone's understanding of the present reality of what is going on, particularly in the swing states in the United States as relates to the upcoming U.S. presidential election. We have representatives from Missing Pages of History who are in some of the key swing states, such as Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We have Brother McHale McLean. We have, as your host here, Lee Robinson out of Richmond, Virginia. We have also, as a member of Missing Pages of History out of Richmond, Virginia, Susie Robinson. And we have, as in our other swing state, North Carolina, Raleigh, Mr. Emmanuel Joyner. We're going to talk today on what the conditions are like in the year 2012 and upcoming presidential election as relates to the conditions of African people in the United States and the election. Right now, there's a growing concern, Mr. Joyner, that there are some things going on in this election that may not be favorable to people of color. One of the things I'd like for you to talk about a little bit to our audience, Mr. Joyner, is that based upon the information that you have gathered, what is the fundamental difference between Mitch Romney and President Barack Obama, based upon your research?
Well, the contrast between the two opponents is one has integrity and one do not. One says what he needs to say at that particular time to his base. He already made the statement that 47% of Americans are victims. That means that your mama, my mama, our sisters and brothers who don't make $250,000 a year or millionaires, we're not included, we're victims. So we really don't count. Mr. Obama's are all 100% count, not just the 1% that Mitt Romney is going toward and also using racial codes to try to win this election, which he's not going to win. He's trailing in the swing states, and Obama is working very, very hard to make sure that he wins again without a problem. Mitt Romney don't have the right equipment or the right mentality to run this nation or to deal with other nations. So my difference is between the two. One has integrity. One don't. One is honest. One's promises are very vague. Mitt Romney, what he says, is very vague. He changes positions. He has picked a position at that particular time. But the big thing that I don't like about him is his integrity, and he tells a lot of lies. We cannot put a president in this country, most powerful man in the world, that tell a lot of lies. You cannot.
Can I stop you for a second, Mr. Joyner, ask you something? You say he tells a lot of lies. Is that what you mean by this concept of Rhodesia? What is Rhodesia?
Well, Rhodesia is you forget what you said the following day, or you ride that train that you want to ride to the people's ear. So whatever the people here want to hear, what's popular with the other, with your incumbent or the person that you're debating, you try to side with him in such a way with nuisances. When I said nuisances, I would say you're doing something already, but he should have did this earlier because he doesn't know. That's a nuisance. You're saying the same thing he's saying, but you're saying it with a nuisance, that's all. You're agreeing with the president, but all your positions prior to that particular time was highly severely conservative. And another thing when he talks about is about creating jobs, where his state was the 47th, was governor 47th state for creating jobs, 47, and shipping jobs overseas. That's what he does. He don't do anything else but do this. He don't create no jobs. He creates jobs in other countries. His money is in other countries. His money is offshore. There's nothing here about Mitt Romney being American. He's more anti-American than anybody I've ever seen run for president, because he won't tell you anything. His tax returns, I feel if he turns his tax returns over, I feel he's going to jail. They're going to prosecute him. That's why he's not turning them over, because, again, he's a thief. So you got to look at what you look at. If a person sits there and says things of this magnitude, I'm not going to turn my tax returns over. Everybody else has done. Barack Obama did his. Match him there. He turned over 8 years. All I'm saying is that let's see how honest you are. You're talking about taxes. Let's see how you do your taxes. So that's not an uncommon thing that presidents do when they run for office. But the thing is integrity and character. His character, his nose is up in the air. Let's face facts. He's not one of us. He's not in that 47%.
Okay. Brother McHale, do you have anything you'd like to add to it, or your perspective, or how you see the differences between the two?
Well, I fully agree with Mr. Joyner on that one. Basically, what you have is that we're witnessing some very, very, very difficult projections from the two candidates trying to win over these votes. And it's very close at this point. Mitt Romney's being very strategic in what I'm observing. He's very, very strategic in how he's conducting himself, especially in these last few debates. He's basically representing the cause of European people, as far as I can see, who are afraid of what a black president and a rising African and Asian population can do in terms of the security of the European descendants and the European Americans in this country who are able to vote. They're basically looking at Mitt Romney and hoping that they can retain their position in the world. When they look at Barack Obama, they see something a little different. This is what I've picked up so far. Mitt Romney says what he has to say, and he's conducting himself to project a certain image and to reach a certain group of the population in hopes that he can actually push this over and get into the presidential office. Barack Obama, on the other hand, is already in office. He's been up against quite a bit of opposition. The Republican House has blocked just about every move he's made. And then they would look and point the finger and say, well, things haven't changed in 4 years. Even though this is this current economic situation has been in the making since President Clinton left office. So we're basically having a debate or a series of debates that are looking towards those two directions. Is it going to be a progressive, democratic team that takes things further for the next 4 years, or do we go back to the older policies that we had under George Bush, where we accumulated quite a bit of debt through various ground wars in places that may not have really had any security issue concerning this country? So this is where we're at now, and we're just about down to the last, week or so before that election. So this
okay, I'm going to... Oh, sorry. Sorry for cutting across, so you can finish your statement.
Okay.
I'm going to make a statement. I'd like Sister Susie out of Richmond, Virginia, to talk about this issue first, and then I'd like to hear other response to this. They say historically, African people or black people in America has never been monolithic in anything. But historically, if this has been true, there seems to be some backlash at African ministers or black ministers today who are telling their congregation to vote for Mitt Romney based upon what we call the culture walls. And one example, when I talk about the culture walls, there are some ministers that we know in Virginia, and even particularly in Richmond, they are telling their African congregation to vote for Mitt Romney because of the fact that President Barack Obama is supporting same-sex marriage or same-sex reunions. And for that one particular issue, they feel like that's enough reason. There's enough reason for not to support the president. How do you feel about that position, Susie? And then I'd like to have Mr. Joyner and Mikhail a response to that. Sister Susie?
Well, the only thing I can say, I'm talking with various people within the communities, and they expressed that this was going on in their particular churches. Another issue they also address is the abortion issue. A lot of the pastors here, which are strongly against that, believing that, you know, to a certain extent, a woman doesn't have the right based on religion. And it's just disheartening to hear that, because basically when you take religion and you take politics, you shouldn't basically mix the two together. And so I don't understand the black churches and why they would want to do that, first of all. But it is an issue here, going to some people I've talked to within the communities.
Mr. Jonah, what incentive would any African preacher would have to encourage their congregation to vote for Mitt Romney? What could be their ultimate motives?
Well, Mr. Robinson is correct. State and church supposedly separate. And I keep both of those separate because they're two. But again, they are joined at the hip because people go to church, they're in politics, so it's hard to separate state and, you know, but the Constitution try to separate the two. But I think that some of the ministers, you have to understand their message. And you have to understand the messenger of the ministers who's doing this. It's very minute. It's very, very small. We had one church here, that's a mega church, has about 2,000 members. Their pastor sort of spoke against same-sex marriage or union, whatever. But again, it's put in the context that you're talking about a marriage. But again, I believe in, you know, marriages, female and male, of course. Everyone has, you know, we're evolving, and everything is evolving. But it's such a small number of people doing this, of ministers doing this in African-American, I was all African-American churches, but I don't know what denominations they are. It's, you know, that's mainly, or they belong to the Ministers Alliance or this or that. I don't know, but actually I weighed in on it a couple of times, and that's a personal belief in the people at the church, as a patron of the church, that's their belief again. When they go in the voting booth, no one knows what they're voting for. Again, your belief, no one doesn't persuade you out of persuasion. Don't let that get in the way of really what the facts are. And what it was all about, of this world is made up of different people. There are straights, there are gays. It's just the way it is. And again, you don't have to side with them per se, but it's got to be an open view. And Obama gave him just an open view that he's not practicing it. No, very few people practice it. But again, it's done. So a lot of religion can say the same thing. You can say this thing about the Mormon religion. People call it a cult. Billy Graham just backed up and said, well, it's been a cult this year. Jehovah's Witnesses a cult. So, again, you got to watch your religious thing. We got to keep state, you know, we got to keep people's personal endeavors and personal behavior. You got to keep that within the religious structure. But not it going to be your structure. But you try your best to understand and examine. I was trying to examine everything with a fine-tooth comb. Said that's their personal belief, that is their belief. And again, you know, when we are Catholic, but some of the things the Catholic Church does, you're still a Catholic. You can't, everything cannot be what you want it to be. 100% of anything. There's always going to be something there. But again, I look at it as being very minute. 96% of African American vote, a voting bloc going to the president. Over 75% of the Hispanic bloc is going there. The Asian bloc is 75% again. And right now, 65% of the women vote, which including what I just said, is going to what Barack Obama. So evidently that evolved. And by that being evolved, I wouldn't make that an issue. The abortion thing is an issue. A woman should be able to make that decision. So Barack Obama did the right thing on that one. Like I say, he said he makes mistakes every day, but he still, his compass still points in a positive direction, and that's the main thing, that you make sure that your good deeds overweigh your other deeds. So, but again, to repeat what I said before, religion and politics, they're supposed to be separate powers, and that's the way I put them.
Brother McHale, what would you say to African minister today encouraging his congregation to vote for Mitt Romney?
Well, again, this is nothing new. We've seen this before. Those of us old enough to remember the Civil Rights Movement saw that Dr. King, Reverend Dr. King, had quite a bit of opposition, especially in the early days of the Civil Rights Movement, not only from white Republicans or Southern Democrats, but some of the black preachers actually stood against his movement. And this has continued on for since that time. We see it periodically. Mainly what we're looking at now is a huge competition. And as far as I can see, Mitt Romney and his camp are trying to win by any means necessary. So if they can begin to split the black vote off a little here and there, that's to their advantage. As Mr. Joyner said and Susie said, the United States Constitution definitely make separation between church and state. So the whole question of the morality of this issue or the other, it has to be considered in that light. If the Constitution says that the United States government cannot put a particular religion ahead of another, then that's what we have to do. Now, again, if that this particular tactic, whether they're paying a minister or have convinced a particular minister to take up the Republican cause, it serves Mitt Romney. As to the direction the country goes, that's really a cultural issue. And in terms of economics, what we've heard from Romney has not been particularly decisive or detailed. So, it's just a matter of trying to win that vote. Sister June is here, if you'd like, she'd like to get in on the conversation.
Okay, we'll bring her in at the next question. And moving forward, to our audience, we have just acquired another member of Missing Pages of History, Sister June McLean. She'll be speaking out of the Philadelphia chapter. But right now, I'd like to address this question to start with Mr. Joyner and have others to join in. Historically, national elections has always been the winner take all. Once you win a national election, you become president for the whole country. And not for one or two parties, but for all the people. Given the fact that many people believe, and the U.S. has a history where it's proud to say it's one country or one people, we recognize, Mr. Joyner, that based upon the last election and President Barack Obama becoming the president, there has been a resistance to this concept of the majority win. For example, why has there been lack of support from the GOP in terms of not supporting the president? What could that be all about? What's the rationale behind that if they claim all to be Americans and put American interests?
Well, this country still has racial injustices. And again, African Americans make up 13% of the country. We've integrated into the fiber of this country in politics, in religion, in wealth, also in poverty. And we have to understand that we're not slaves anymore. They still understand that they are superior. And they don't think that a black president or a black person should tell them what to do. It's just a bottom line. There's nothing else. Don't care how smart you are or how superior you are, but how you perform. They still understand that you are a black person. I'm yet to know what a black person is, along with that 1/16th is. I'm still trying to find out what that is, what makes you black. But again, we need to look at the whole structure on the political scene, how it's set up. At African Americans, we're in 75% of the 10 largest cities. And these cities we basically control to a certain extent. But still, we have to understand that the racial overtone of America is still racist. It's 80%, so we have to deal with that. 20% of them still, they understand. And the young people who work beside us every day, integration, we go to school with them every day and work beside them, found hope. They do the job just as well as we do. In most cases, they do better than we do. Because we always talk, we have to do the job twice as good anyhow. But that's the big killer. We've always been smart. We always perform. We've always been the maid, the butler, the this, so we ain't never been lazy. I don't know where this thing come from. The person's lazy. The person hire you to do something for them. That's a lazy person. But we have to get up. We have to announce ourselves and re-announce ourselves and reevaluate ourselves as being who we are and what we are. We are human beings. There's not but one race on this earth, and that's the human race. And we have to and stick to that. African Americans, European Americans, Asian Americans, we need to probably put that first. The first thing that we should always do is put the ethnicity in front of us, regardless who we are. There's no such thing as white America, black America, red America, brown America. There's no such animals as that. We human beings, all of us come from a continent or a country on the globe we can identify with. Asia has where they are in Asia. They're Asian Americans. And Europeans are European Americans. We have to stop using terminology as white America. We have to stop this. That's a color. But we got to just deal with this. So we come in different shades. And that's the only way we're going to understand this thing is changing all these different codes. I was reading about food stamps started back in 1977 upon Governor McGovern. Why they called Barack Obama the food stamp president? He wasn't here. This is 1977 when the food stamps. But the Bible speaks about feed the poor, feed the hungry. So I'm for that all the way. But whatever do we need to do, we need to do. So when people talk about food stamps, understand the connotations of what you're talking about. The Bible speaks of, we're such a Christian nation, feed the hungry. If you read the Bible about what he did with the fish, where he was 5 loaves of bread, he fed people. Nobody in this country should go hungry. So again, look at yourself, evaluate yourself. All Americans, evaluate yourself as immigrants, but all of us are immigrants as such. But start announcing names, name calling, and again, the GOP do not want to, do not understand. They think they're superior. They don't understand that all of us in this office, all of us is in this together. And we got the greatest president right now. I've been in this world a long time, I've ever seen. Up under opposition, that he slips and he slides. And on top of that, what Sarah Palin said about shucking and jiving. See, these kind of cold ethnic words I don't like. My parents never shucked and jived. She raised us and raised white people's children and cleaned their house. They didn't clean our house. So we got to understand, the other guy, the former governor of New Hampshire, called Obama lazy. All these are code ethnic words. We are not lazy. And I always said, and I say it again, the person who's lazy who needed slaves, that's the lazy person. So let's flip. Don't be scared to flip the coin. Who's lazy? I know who's lazy. My parents know who's lazy. My grandparents know who's lazy. And we know who was slaves for 375 years and didn't get paid, not one dime, didn't get not one opportunity. We should be proud of where we've come so far. And we should, again, we should raise up, because racism raises ugly head a lot, all the time. And the GOP is about 80% racist. They're totally different type of people. And we have to stand up to them and talk back to them, just like, say again, call them lazy, call them lazy. Don't be afraid.
Okay,
the
let
whole
me start.
Thing is fear.
Let
so we have to understand the factors. And again, in closing, I'm just saying that, you know, when he went this time around, he's going to still meet some GOP offenses and tech offenses going against him. But again, I'm so proud of our president. Regardless of all the confrontations he had with the GOP, he stands up. And like I said again, my Maya Angelou said, he rises. He always rises.
Okay, for our sister June out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who has just joined us, can you just give us a general response to the attitudes and the feeling as relates to the African community in Philly around the issue of the GOP refusing to want to work with the president? Do many of them feel like, and what is your position, that there's sort of a racial overtone as a result of trying to block everything he does just because he's not one of them in terms of being a European?
Okay, quickly, I know we're up against the clock, but quickly, I cannot speak for all the African Americans here, but what I can do is agree with all that Mr. Joyner said. But in addition, that code word he refers to, let's call it the American mystique, because we know that in America, if you're black or African American and have grown up in this country, you know that mystique has its own code. For the most part, when they say majority rule, they don't mean majority. They mean minority. It's a minority that holds the power, that has the resources, and they aimed on keeping that for themselves. So, indeed, I feel that everybody should get out and continue to vote and support President Obama, but they need to recognize that certain things just the political tone in this country has a lot to be desired, and we have a lot of work to do. So in that regard, that could be why a lot of blacks maybe stand back and say that they already know. It's something innate, something they know innately in them that realizes that they're saying one thing, but their walk and their talk is not what it's supposed to be. But again, because we're up against the clock, there is one thing that I want to remind the voters. Get out there and vote for the president, but remember to check your ballots in your state. There's very important information that the voters of each and individual state need to respond to. For example, in Philadelphia alone, we have a $123 million vote up to have the city council vote to vote to provide capital for such things as the transit, street and sanitation, parks and recreation, and a whole lot of other things that need to be addressed. So make sure you read the ballot questions that's also on that will be presented to the voters on November 6th.
Okay, what I'd like to look at audience today is we're gonna go over just a little bit today. This is a very important topic. We are at a very important historical conjunction of this country development and the development of peoples of colors as relates to their interests. We can go over for a few minutes. And if you don't hear all of this discussion tonight, you can always reach us and go to our archive at blogtalkradio.com/missingpagesofhistory. That's blogtalkradio.com/missingpagesofhistory and check our archive to get the remainder of the show. So to our audience, stay with us. We're going to go over a few more minutes, so let's continue the discussion. To Brother McHale, I'd like to have your position on this issue here. There have been some talk about some of the different tactics and things they're doing to try to disenfranchise the so-called African vote. What have you heard? What have you seen in your area? What's going on in your state as relates to that? Brother Mikhail? Hello? Brother Mikhail, are you there? Hello? I think, let me see. We bring in Brother Mikhail. Are you still there?
Trying to call. I can hear you. I can't get through. I'm not being heard.
You're not getting heard. Okay. So what I think may have happened, may have broke off. Sister Susan, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Can you talk about a little bit of what's going on in your state in terms of disenfranchisement of voting of people of color?
Well, I think one of the main issues is exactly what Mr. John had said earlier. And pretty much when you think of the minority, we are the minority. But what's happening is we're increasing. Our minority is growing, and they are becoming the minority. And I think this is one thing that they are afraid of, and that's one reason why they fight President Obama on a lot of issues, because of the fact if they allow us to finally believe that we have arrived, that would be sending out this statement. And therefore, so they have to fight them with every issue to make sure that it doesn't give us, lead us to the top.
Brother, Mr. Joyner, what are some of the issues that are going on in your chapter in North Carolina as relates to this question on disenfranchisement? What are some of the issues and gains and things that are going on that people is trying to fight to ensure there be a fair and free election?
Well, some of the things some of the oppression things that they're trying to do was close the polls early on certain days, especially on Sunday when people leave church and they go vote. Have all been opened up and have been turned over a little bit because Barack Obama won North Carolina by 14,000 votes the last time we won here. But there's nothing out of the way at the moment. Everybody's getting informed. We know where the polling stations are. Again, Jesse Jackson was here, and Alicia Keys is here. So a lot of information came. And of course, the news had to report this. Said open up a lot of, you know, a lot of news reporting here for us as far as the station's concerned. The stations here, they're very unbiased, which is fantastic, which is, you know, you have a lot of rights here in North Carolina. All of a sudden, they were trying to deter because North Carolina is a, you know, western state with Charlotte, and everything else is small compared to Charlotte. So, of course, you got the mayor race going here, which is probably going to be Republican for the first time. But other than that, everything seems to be going pretty well here as far as the polls being opening, where people are going to be at. No vote intimidation yet. We had one shooting where a lady had an Obama shirt on. They said maybe a Klan's person shot her, and I just a figuration of speech. There was somebody's older lady, she's wearing Obama clothing, and that happened in one of the towns that are very strong with Romney. But again, I think everything is going to go pretty good in North Carolina.
Okay, in closing, we can close out with Sister Susie. We will ask her to share with our audience a little bit about the importance of maybe voting early and some of the issues around voting early so that our voters can be informed. Sister Susan, I understand you have some experience in terms of this voting process. Can you just talk a little bit about this early voting process and what people should know about it and maybe some of the issues that may be coming up as it relates to that in closing out the program?
Okay. One thing is to make sure that you check out in your area that as far as early voting, what things allow you to vote early. And I know in the state of Virginia, the state as simple as if you don't want to have to go to be standing in a line in the dark, you can use that as a reason. You can also use the fact that you may have to come from one county to the city to vote. is various reasons. There's like about 30 different reasons that you could actually use to accommodate you in voting early. And I suggest that you please check it out in your area to take advantage of this.
Wow, we'd like to thank everyone today from Missing Pages of History and Memoirs, Michaela and June McLean out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Sister Susie Robson out of Richmond, Virginia, and Brother Emmanuel Joyner out of Raleigh, North Carolina, and myself, Lee Robson, as the host of Missing Pages. We'd like to thank everyone for their participation. We'd like to thank our listeners for listening to the program. And we'd like to encourage you, if you'd like to hear this program or contact Missing Pages of History, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/missingpagesofhistory. If you'd like to support our organization, join our organization, or even send in a contribution donation to help our work, where we try to perfect using communications to develop our communities. You can reach us at Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261, or you can call us at 804-519-0357, or you can email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. Until next time, remember, we have a historical legacy of struggling for the right to vote. Please go out and vote your choice. And by doing so, we hope that we have a better future for all mankind. Until next time, we see you next Saturday at 12 noon at Missing Pages of History. We thank you.